The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 15th day of February, 2013. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. A look at the numbers. The Dow down 2, S&P down 1, comp down 1, gold down $28.50, crude down $1.80 a barrel, and this Heinz deal, this $25 billion Oracle of Omaha catch-up deal, is about to become unwound, it looks, over some option trades that look a little bit shaky. And we talked about how much the stock ran up prior to the announcement that there was even a deal. Now, I know that kind of stuff just happens. But there, the SEC is looking to move quickly and seize funds before they're moved out of the country. I don't know if they'll pull it off or not. And I don't know all the details of the option trades. And if Bert comes on, he may be able to look them up and tell us if he can see anything unusual going on in the trading of Heinz options. And any of you option scholars in the audience, if you have an option platform and want to pull them up and take a look and share something with us during the show today, by all means, love to hear it. I mean, who doesn't love ketchup, right? You grew up with it. You put it on, well, most of us put it on burgers and fries and draw the line. But some people, my brother for one, he puts it on chicken. Now, who puts ketchup on chicken? My brother, that's who. loves it. Wouldn't think of having chicken without a little ketchup. So anyway, $25 billion deal. Remember, all the deals now have a B in them. B as in billion. Okay, the chart you're looking at, S&P 500 E-mini futures. It is an hourly chart. We're going to talk briefly here in a moment about... Yesterday, as we closed the show, we talked about price pulling back into, okay, this weekly trading zone at 1617. We talked about support dots had printed here. Dynamic support had printed at fixed support. We had our cycle indicator blue and climbing. As we started to pull back, we had not yet found resistance. I said, we got to find resistance before we can find support, before we can go to put in a new high. And I said that the reason I think we'll go to try and at least put in a new high is the way the cycle indicator is building, and we had already begun this decline. I said, I think what will happen, this was at the end of the show yesterday, what I think will happen is we'll pull back into the zone, we'll find support, which we did over the course of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. We found support here at the zone. We did launch an attempt to put in a new high, and look what happened. We didn't make it. Looks like we came about one tick shy. Yep. One tick, well, two ticks shy of putting in a new high. One tick shy of the high back on Wednesday. And what do we got printing right here? Okay, printed on this candle right here, dynamic resistance. Okay, so the dynamic resistance has nailed the top of the market all week. Now, this is an indicator that we used to use quite frequently. We use it on every radio show going back a couple of years ago. I drug it out of the toolbox the other day just to show everybody that, you know, the math behind these formulas still works. Okay, because we've been doing something a little bit differently in the live trading room every day. The results have been, very good. And you hear Michael go over the recap each and every day. We had another stunning morning in the live trading room today. Things went perfectly according to plan. But for those of you looking to trade larger time frames, here you go. Okay? This just kind of lines it out for you better than I could. Okay. Quick look at the news. Russian meteor explosion, big news today, and some people were hurt. The meteor explosion over Russia injured as many as 1,000 people and damaged hundreds of buildings, but it was not related to the asteroid that's going to come by this afternoon. NASA asteroid experts said that the object, which exploded over a thinly inhabited stretch of Eastern Europe today, was most likely an exploding fireball known as a bolide. More than 500 people were injured, mostly by glass cuts when windows shattered during the blast. If the reports of ground damage can be verified, it might suggest an object whose original size was several meters in extent before entering the atmosphere, fragmenting and exploding due to the unequal pressure on the leading side versus the trailing side. In other words, it pancaked and exploded. It's far too early to provide estimates of the energy released or provide a reliable estimate of the original size. Yeoman stressed that the bolide event was likely not associated at all with the incoming asteroid, which will fly within 17,000 miles of Earth when it passes safely by our planet today. The asteroid will travel south to north. The bolide trail was not south to north, and the separation in time between the fireball and the asteroid approach is significant. Now, this asteroid, DA14, is 45 meters wide, which is about half the size of a football field, and will make its closest approach to Earth at 2:24 Eastern this afternoon. It will pass over Indonesia. It will be about 5,000 miles closer to Earth than some of the communication satellites that we have circling the planet right now. NASA scientists, professional, and amateur astronomers around the world have been tracking the asteroid since it was first discovered by a team of amateurs in February 2012. Not only does the asteroid pose no threat to Earth during today's flyby, but it will not hit Earth for the foreseeable future, according to NASA. Well, the two may have absolutely nothing to do with one another, but it certainly seems odd that they both happen on the same day. For those of you that use Skype, now, Skype, I don't know, you love it or you hate it, or maybe you just put up with it. I don't know. I was not an early adopter, and I've not been a late adopter. I just never been a Skype person. I've downloaded it a few times, and I've made a few Skype calls, but I just never... Anyway, that doesn't matter. I remember some of my first Skype experiences were watching Oprah make those shaky video calls with listeners around the world. But there's big news out today on Skype. Skype has started allowing some users to send short video messages to one another when their friends aren't available for a live chat. Now, remember back in the day when you would come home from a long day at work, first thing you would do, you'd throw your keys down on the kitchen counter, you'd walk over, and you'd hit the button on the answering machine. Remember the answering machine before the days of voicemail? And as you were putting away the groceries or hanging up your coat, you would listen to all the people that had called during the day while you were away. Your Aunt Ethel, the bill collector, somebody trying to sell you a subscription to the newspaper, right? Okay, well, here we go. This is the same thing on Rewind, but with video. And by the way, Microsoft owns Skype now. I don't know if you knew that, but they do. Now, starting today, those with the latest version of Skype for either Mac, Android, or iOS, not Windows, can send messages, video messages. Over time, Skype plans to roll out the feature to all of its other platforms, and the company did not give a specific reason why Windows, since this is Microsoft, why Windows isn't one of the first operating systems to support video messaging. The messages can be up to 3 minutes in length. The feature is available in a handful of countries, including the U.S. and the United Kingdom, and Skype is looking for feedback before fully turning on the feature for everyone. An update to the Skype Terms of Service late last year spilled the beans that this feature was coming. They tried to keep it a secret, but they couldn't. You should find this of interest. This is our final piece of news today. Bilal Hafiz, Deutsche Bank's global head of FX strategy, recently gave a speech at the annual Deutsche Bank Chinese New Year dinner in London. He used his speech to take a sweeping tour across the global economic landscape, examining the big stories in the United States, Europe, and China. In China, Hafiz focused on the need to rebalance from a centralized investment-driven model to a more consumption-driven economy. What followed after that was an interesting parallel between the U.S. economy, the current U.S. economy, and the communist ideal. An excerpt from the speech is right here. Here's what he said. You may think that the U.S. is the antithesis of the Marxist ideal. You may be mistaken. In the Communist Manifesto, published in 1848, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels demanded a list of immediate actions that capitalist economies should follow on the path to communism. What were they? Free education. Well, the U.S. has that. Progressive tax system. Well, the U.S. has that. Curbs on inheritance. The U.S. has that. Fair labor laws. We got those. Centralized credit, which was perhaps not the case before the 2008 crisis here in the U.S., but it's certainly the case now with the nexus of the Fed and regulation providing a strong centralized system of credit. The manifesto also demanded the public ownership of land. Now, this, for many, is the ultimate differentiator between a capitalist state and a communist state. But even for the U.S., the picture gets blurred when one considers that 30% of land in the U.S. is directly owned by the federal government. Of the land that is not held by the U.S. government, 80% of householders are either renting or have a mortgage. Now remember, having a mortgage means that the property is actually owned by the mortgage provider, not the private individual. In a centralized credit system, and as became apparent since 2008, the ultimate underwriter of these mortgages is the U.S. government. So the vast majority of property in the U.S. could be traced back to the state. The spirit of Karl Marx lives on in corners of the world where one would least expect. So there you have it. That's our state of the onion. Okay, last night during the live trading room, we had a short trading room. We shortened it a little bit for Valentine's Day. But the big topic that everyone wanted to talk about was tweets and how they can trade the tweets, because we've been known to put out a tweet or two from time to time. So we spent some time talking about that, how they could use that information, which was gathered in larger time frames and put it under smaller time frames to be able to manage the risk. And the one that we actually did this live last night in the workshop. The tweet was, consider being short below 133.45 on the euro, the 6E, if the opportunity presents. And so, over here is when we were in the live trading room, right here. Okay? So we said, consider being short below 133.45. On the first move down, it paid out 32 pips. It then came back to test that area. Now, you've heard us say this so many times, you got to be tired of it, but we'll keep saying it because it continues to be the truth. Important prices are almost always tested. So it came back, tested that area, put in a nice little doji here on the hourly chart, and the second time made 37 pips available. So 32, 37, that's pretty good. And it looks like that's it, right? Because this next hourly candle, it's a big green candle that just whoosh, takes off, right? Well, not so quick. Because remember, I had said in the workshop that you needed to go down to the smaller time frames to really, you know, perhaps find, not only find your entry, but manage your risk. You can just enter off the hourly chart. But that was the question, really, was how to manage the risk. So I'm going to ask Michael, when he takes over the charts, to show this on the four-tick range. But I had to go down all the way to a one-minute chart to see the third entry. Okay, this would be the first entry right here. Okay, the one that was good for 32 pips. My arrows are now out of whack. And then this would be the test. The first one was 32, the second one was 37. And then the third one, this one right here, which from 133.45 down to 133.26, what is that, Michael, 19?
The second one, I think the second one was 19, yeah.
No, the third one.
Oh, the third one. The second one was 30-something. The last one was 19, yeah.
The first one was 34, the second one was 37. And the third one was 19?
I think so. That's what we
came up with. So 19, so let's put that in perspective. What's that compared to 2 points in the ES?
Why, that's just about 5 points on the ES. Just about.
Okay, so this third and final move right here is equivalent to 5 points in the ES. Now, let's go back to our hourly chart. That third move, here's the first move, 32. The second move, 37. The third move for 19 pips, which is equivalent to 5 points in the S&P 500 E-mini futures, you can't even see that move because it's hidden inside the body of this hourly candle. There's a huge lesson in that. Go look at these smaller time frames and don't discount the smaller time frames. Okay? Sometimes you might look at a four tick range and go, oh, that's too fast. I can't do any business there. Well, you can. All right? You got to pay attention. You got to be focused, but you can. And it may take some work and it may take some time, but you can. All right? And with that said, Michael, I'll let you go ahead and take the screen so that you can do the recap.
All right. Let me.
And if you would, as you go through the charts, if you have a chance to pull up the euro, I'll be here and I'll tell you the times. And if you could show where the entries might have been on a smaller time frame on those, that'd be great.
Sure, I can start off with that in a minute. Let me just get one other thing done here. There we go.
So again, there was three trades out of that one tweet. Potential, okay? You're not going to get it all, but it's an opportunity. 32, 37, and 19, that's about 88 pips total of opportunity. You're not going to get it all. Let's say you get, just say you find a way to get half of it. 44 times 1250, that's $500. That's 10 ES points. That's only getting half of what was made available. So, you get my picture.
Yeah.
Not you, though.
We'll show you. And we'll show you on the smaller time frames how to get into that.
All right.
Did I didn't take the charts yet. Did I do it?
Not yet.
Not yet. I am going to do that right now. There we go.
I can see your chart.
Excellent. All right, let me get the recorder going here. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Friday, February 15th, 2013. Let's go over the results to start with. It took us, 13 minutes and two trades to make our 2 points this morning. We were at $100 even, $100 per contract even, when we got the 2 points done. I took one of the trades was in pre-market, and then the other trade, I'll show it to you in just a minute here. Our results for the morning were, we were minus 8 ticks on the Russell, we were plus 21 ticks on gold, and plus 11 ticks on crude oil. It was 7 trades altogether that we took this morning. Okay, so that puts us on the month, we are up $1,690 per contract. Right, $1,690 per contract on the month. That is where we stand right now. So I'm gonna have to do some bigger gain days over the next couple of weeks here to get to the 4,000 mark on the month. But you know, we'll shoot for it and see what we get. All right. Let's do the Euro thing that Dwayne was just talking about. Oh, wait a minute. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for our free trial. In the free trial, you get access to all the charts and indicators that you see here. You get to sit in our live trading room for 2 hours per day for 5 business days. You get to ask Dwayne and I all the questions that you want, and we will do our best to answer all your questions. You get to see the trades set up live. You get to see us take the trades live. You even if I don't take them, I try to tell you every time I see a trade setting up. Okay, yes, 5 luxurious days, right, Frank? 5 luxurious days in our live trading room. And that's it, all right? So you get access to just about everything we have to offer, except you don't get access to the members area and you don't get to go to the partners meeting. That's it. All right.
We should probably tone down the 5 luxurious days thing until the Triumph episode fades from memory. Just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll tone that down a little. Not 5 luxurious days. 5 wonderful days. Five fantastic days. Five hopefully profitable days. Hopefully profitable
okay,
days.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Recap.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's do the Euro stuff right now. Okay, on the 6E. I had highlighted it. Now, last night in the partners meeting, when Dwayne put it out, it was right here in the partners meeting last night. That's when Dwayne sent it out. And I had said right here that these were coming together. We didn't really have any trade set up right here. It looked to be kind of topping right here, possibly moving down. It did give an opportunity to get long for a couple of ticks there, for about, you know, 6 or 8 ticks. It dropped down, gave an opportunity for a short in here, then moved up and down a little bit. But the trade finally triggered in right over here. I had drawn this blue line on it when Dwayne had put it in there last night. This was the point right here when the European markets opened up this morning that the trade was triggered, okay? It hit the level that Dwayne mentioned, 133.45, and if you wanted to use to drop down to a smaller time frame, a 4-tick range frame, the entry was right here, okay? The entry wasn't at 133.45. The entry was down here. The down close right here. It was at 133.36, okay? So you could have gotten in there at 133.36, gotten out down here possibly. It did go pretty much straight down for all 23 of those ticks. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of indecision in there. It took about, I don't know, what did it take? Half an hour? About that, maybe a little less than a half an hour to go from here down to here. All right, that's a significant gain in a half an hour. Now, it bounced up from there all the way back up here. Important levels are always tested. It got retested right in there. So if you were looking for the shorting opportunity, the next shorting opportunity, there are a couple of ways to skin this. If you were a partner, you could have shorted right here. You would have known from the partners meeting last night, right there was a good spot to short. Otherwise, you could have shorted. There wasn't much divergence to speak of in here, and the black line's still up above the green, so you would have had to have waited until right over here. Okay, right in here. But the first short would have been up here, based on what we went over in the partners meeting last night. The next short would have been right in there, so you could have gotten a couple more out of that, depending what you did with your stop. If you moved your stop up to break even, you would have either gotten out of break even or taken a little bit of profit. If you left your stop alone, you would have been in for the whole move down. The next one came up here, retested it up here. Now we're only looking for the shorting opportunities in here, right? Because we're anticipating it's going to go down. So the next shorting opportunity off of here, you know, if you just sold it up here, then that's okay. But if you wanted to wait on the smaller time frame for it to give you the opportunity, it was right here, okay, at 33.36. Again, that number, 33.36. See that? Same exact number. Sold a couple of times. 33.36, and then it dropped down 8 ticks, which is the equivalent of 2 points on the ES. Okay, so using the shorter time frames or the smaller time frames to minimize the amount of risk required, that's how you could have played that. All right. When it was playing out in here, this is a head, this is a shoulder, this is a shoulder. I think last night when this was happening, I had pointed out this was a shoulder, this looked like a head forming, and we're going to see another shoulder over here, preferably lower than this shoulder, is what I had said. We did get the other shoulder right in there. If you guys that were in a partners meeting last night, you might remember me doing this. I drew the other thing on there. We did get the other shoulder, but we didn't break the neckline. It moved up before it came down to break the neckline. Okay. Anyway, that was the Euro, and that was all the stuff based on the tweet that Dwayne had given last night. Once we get into the morning session here, I didn't take any trades on the Euro, but there were a couple of them available. Right here, there was a nice move up. If you missed that first one, you couldn't really get into it on the second one in there. There was one setting up in here, the down close right here. You would have needed 33.55. It drew down to 33.63, so that's just 8 ticks. You may have stopped out, depending on where you entered this. You probably wouldn't have entered at 33.55, though, because it didn't go lower on the next bar. It went straight up. So you probably would have stayed in this trade for a little while anyway. And that was it. There wasn't really much to do in there this morning on the Euro. Okay, there was that first trade, but that was it. Let's see. Let's jump over here. Okay. I had a black line entry before that. I'm not going to jump back into it right now. Let's go back here on the crude oil. We took two trades on crude this morning. Both trades were winning trades. There were a ton of trades available, but we only took two of them. Okay, when I say a ton, I mean probably more than five. But we only took two. This is the pre-market activity for those of you guys who are wondering if there's something that you can trade in the pre-market. There was a ton of pre-market activity in here. All right? A ton of it. And there was, it would have been easy to take advantage of these trades in here had I been watching. Okay? To gain 2 points from this, right there as you down close. Actually, right there as you down close. You could jump in there. Drop down, pulled back a little bit, jump in there, drop down, pull back a little bit, and jump in there. I mean, any one of those would have made 2 points on the way up. Let's see, I had your bullish cross, everything was good right in here, you would have gotten long right there for that move up. There was no other entry on the way up right there. Let's see, over here on the way down, we didn't have anything on that one on the way up. Your trend line would have been down here like this, so you wouldn't have had anything over there. But just wanted to show you there was plenty of opportunity for those of you guys that want to trade in the pre-market. This was our first trade on the crude right here. It came back up, tested the BBC, and gave a down close. But we had blue on the cycle, so we needed a down close below the trend line. All right, we got in right here below the trend line. We took some profit down here. Okay, I think we took 5 ticks profit on that. Right. What did we end up with on crude? Oh, no, we took 10 ticks profit on that. Sorry. We took 10 ticks profit on that. It was. Wasn't that a nice trade? It was textbook. It was, well, I say textbook. It was picture book. It was just like the picture is going to show here whenever it populates. Right here. All right. The cycle was blue, so you wait for the close below the trend line, and you jump in. That's what we did. The next one was over here. This time we didn't have to wait for it to close above the trend line because it hit the BBC and the cycle was still red. Okay? And this was another one, just like the picture. You get your bullish cross, your space, it pulls back down, tests the BBC, and gives an up close. While the cycle is still blue right in here. Did I say blue? I mean, did I say red? The cycle was still blue in here, so we could just take the up close. I don't know why I'm talking about this one. I didn't actually take that one. But that was a valid trade in there. This was the same valid trade, just a short side. Over here, the same thing again, just the short side. Another one right here, just the short side. This was the one that I took on the long side. We did need the close above the trend line. And I jumped in here and I took a quick tick quickly. Whatever. I took 1 tick profit. I moved my stop up quickly. Okay. It did end up working out even better. You know, the way that it was coming together here, I didn't know if it was going to get through the swing high. That's what I was questioning, if it was going to get through there, and it chopped around for a while. It finally went through it. That was our last trade this morning on the crude oil, but there was another one in here. Right there. The down close was right there. You could have shorted that right there. All right. And that is also a trade from what we went over last night. If you look at the picture that we drew last night, take a look at that. That was our last trade on the crude oil. All right. The Russell, we took one losing trade on the Russell this morning. Whatever. Let's see. We have in here, this was the Russell this morning. This was a little pre-market, all right? But you could see it was just bouncing up and up and up. There were a couple of opportunities in here. There was this one pre-market, this one right at the open. You would have needed to close above the trend line. So this right here, well, let's just draw the trend line to make sure. There's the trend line. So this right here would have been the spot to enter on that. All right, right in there. Then we lost our divergence. Then divergence was the wrong way. Then I shorted over here, and I actually got stopped out on this one. This was my one loss of the morning right here. All right, there was another opportunity over here on the Russell. This was after the morning session ended. But right in there was the trend line. but you didn't need it because the cycle was still red. So it pulled back, tested the BBC, and gave a down close, and there it went. All right. That was the Russell this morning. Yeah, gold. Gold was my friend today. We took a couple of trades on gold. Actually, we took how many trades? Four trades on gold. Let's see. Our first trade, our first trade was in the pre-market here. Is that even today? Yeah, it was right here. This was our first trade in the pre-market. We got long in here on the bounce off the BBC with the bullish divergence. You know, step one, step two, step three, step four. Right there, we got long on that. And it moved up above the, it closed right there above the MA1, so I moved my stop to break even. And it came back and took me out of break even. Then it went right up to our 2-point target. That would have taken me 1 minute to get our 2 points this morning, but it stopped me out there. And then the market started moving around pretty quick, and I missed this trade and this trade, and then it got choppy, and I left for an hour, and I came back. I came back over here at 9:30. We missed this trade right at 9:30 and this trade right at 9:30, but at 9:41 or so, we did jump into this one. We got this trade right here. We took 10 ticks profit, and that was our 2 points right there. All right, it was 9:43 by the time it ended. Bang! That's right, freaking bang! And it was, I mean, I had put a target on this. Normally on gold, I don't have a target just for situations like this. But I had put a 2-point target on it because I just wanted to get out with the 2 points. And we did. We got out with our 2 points, and I'm not upset about that, that I missed the other, 40 ticks. but it happens. I got profit on it, and I was good with that. Our next trade on the gold, there was one that set up over here. We needed to close. Actually, this wasn't a good trade because the black line was below the green line. So let me take that off of there. Don't want to mislead anyone. There was a trade right over here. The up close above the trend line is what we would have been looking for on this. I missed it. Right there, the up close above the trend line. It took it a while, but it finally moved up. The next trade that we took was over here, just a down close off the BBC. If we go back to our picture, this one. Pretty much textbook, right? Your bearish cross, your space, your pullback test, down close, bearish divergence. All right, all that stuff happened right there. So I took some more profit on that. I think I took another 10 or something like that on that one. I'm pretty sure I took 10 ticks on that one. I missed the follow-up trade right here. There was another one right there that I missed. Then there was a long trade right here that went for a couple ticks. A short trade in here that I missed. And you can see I missed a whole bunch right in here. It really started to move and I missed all that. Okay. But there were plenty of opportunities. We were talking about it. I was showing things to everybody at that time. I was showing everybody a lot of stuff in here during this time. There were opportunities in here to short in a bunch of places. Right in here. Right in there. Right in here. Let's see. Up here. You could have shorted up there. And that is about it, because the trend line here was going sideways like this. So there were four opportunities to take advantage of that move right there, okay, if you didn't grab it up there. It got very sideways in here, then it started moving back up to recover some of that. I jumped in up here, and I took one tick profit on this, okay. Yeah, there were a whole bunch of the black line entries, if you guys were, that's a thing that's just for partners, the whole black line thing, okay. You guys can go look at that in the members area. All right. More black line entries up here too, where we didn't have any of the other entries. then we get into here. Just needed a, well, you needed a down close below the trend line actually. So right in here would have been the spot. The down close right there went for about 6 or 8 ticks. Then it got back and forth across the BBC, so there wasn't a lot of opportunity in there unless you were doing the black line entries. It changed here, but we had a trend line we had drawn in here, so we didn't get an opportunity to get long, and then that was it. That was it to the morning session. All right, we ended plus 21 ticks on gold. The NQ, I didn't take any trades on the NQ today. make a single trade on the MQ. I highlighted one area in here that wouldn't have worked out. There were a bunch of other areas in here that may or may not have worked out. I suggested not doing anything in here. I said it was a little long in the tooth. And then the NQ got very, very choppy right here for some reason. I don't know why, but it did. And it turned around and dropped through over here. Okay. Oops. My trend line needs to move. There it is. Give it down close. Drop through right in there. Another one over here and drop through. And another one over here. So it did start moving. We didn't get any of that. Okay, we didn't take any of those trades. But the places to enter would have been the down close below the trend line. Well, on this one, you could have been the down close right there off the PBC. On this one, it would have been below the trend line. And this one, below the trend line. Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions about any of this stuff? I know a lot of the partners are typing stuff in. But, but does anybody who's not a partner, there's a whole bunch of Jews out there too. Do you guys have any questions? If you do, just ask them, and we'll be happy to answer them. There's no short right here on the NQ right now. All right, let's jump over here to the ES because we did have a couple of opportunities on the ES this morning. The first one right here, we had bullish divergence, a bullish cross, and the BBC was actually getting up out of the weekly trading zone. The first opportunity was the up close right here with a blue cycle and bullish divergence. All right, if you didn't get it there, you could have gotten it there. If you didn't get it there, you could have gotten it there. If you got it there, you got 2 points. The next one was over here, and that gave 1.75 points, I think. 1.5, 1.75 points. I was telling everybody when it got up here and the green line was up in the cycle, I said I would lock some profit in there, lock in a point, take your risk off the trade, and that was the top right there. It turned around and started to come back down. Again, if you were doing the black line trade, you would have been shorting right in here, that thing from the partners meeting. If not, then you wouldn't have been doing anything because it was going right into a zone, all right, like it is right now. Right now, you see we have bearish divergence, and it's pulling back up to test the BBC. Typically, if we didn't have a weekly trading zone right below us, we'd draw a trend line up these bottoms like that, and we'd say we either need, well, because we have blue on the cycle, we need a down close below the trend line, a down close below the trend line. But that's it. That's all we got. Let's see. I'm going to... What time is it? 12:41. Well, I'll look at a little natural gas. So we already did the euro. The natural gas this morning, it was pre-market stuff more than anything. Black line trades. There was one here where we broke the trend line, moved up. This was the black line trade from the stuff we went over in the partners meeting. And that was pretty much it. There's a spot right in here where you could have taken a trade, but this was outside of the live trading room this morning. Okay, right in here. The down close with the bearish divergence right here. Actually, it just did it again right now, right here at 154. This would be your trend line. You have blue on the cycle, so you need the down close below the trend line. So 154 would be your spot right there. That happens to be below the MA1, below the black line. I would look for a move down to 145. Yeah, 145 probably. All right. That is the natural gas. The soybeans, we didn't spend much time looking at the soybeans this morning because they just didn't look like they were coming together with anything for us. There was one opportunity right in here. When price was down here, I said, on this red bar, I said, if we get two up bars in a row, we'll have some divergence, and then we can start looking for a short trade. We did get two up bars in a row. We did get divergence. We did get a down close below the trend line. It only went about 3 or 4 ticks, though, and then it turned around and went back up. I wasn't actually looking at it after that. This is where I said that, and then it did everything that I said, but we didn't go to look at it. Right now, it's testing the BBC. We have red on the cycle. This down close, you could actually enter right here at 1420 even. 1420 even would be a spot you could enter on the soybeans. Okay. That's it. That is it. So watch this on the natural gas. Should get down to 145 in that area. Probably if you close down below this level right here, you've broken it, so you should get down there. And watch the soybeans. Soybeans were moved down, probably down here, to 18, okay? From 20 down to 18, so a 2 cent move. And the natural gas is starting to move. So watch for the green line to get down into the cycle. When the green line gets down into the cycle, you can anticipate that it's going to bounce off it again. All right? All right. Good, Bert. I just saw your statement in there. And let's see, we have... Yeah, let's do that. No, we can just do it. That's what I was thinking, yeah. Well, just to the end of the month. Sorry. Dwayne, I'm
talking to me?
To your text right now.
You talking
okay,
to me?
Okay, I'm going...
You talking to me?
Okay. Yeah, I am. I am. I was responding to your text that I just saw you typed in. But let me shut the recording off first.
Okay.
So we can leave it in the recording if you want. Do you want
to... I don't know. Just go ahead and turn the recorder off for now.
Okay, I'll just turn the recorder
off.
All right.
I don't know.
If nobody's got any questions, then I'm going to wrap up the recap right here. And there. The recorder is off. All right. So, active.
Okay. All right, guys. So, do you want to you wanna roll it out? You want to throw
sure.
it out there?
Okay. I'll mention it, and then you can go into more detail.
Can I? Oh, okay.
If you want.
All right.
If you want to.
Okay.
All right. For all our partners, active, inactive, our next workshop is going to be our 100th workshop. So, in honor of our 100th workshop, we're going to do a couple things.
That's a drum
one
roll.
Is we're going to go. We're not going to do it next week on Thursday. We're going to skip a week and do it the last day of the month, February 28th. And on February 28th, any partner who is an active partner at that time, you know, anybody who is an active partner at that time, your name will be put into a drawing for a new iPad. Okay? That is what we are going to do. I know I don't make it sound as good as Dwayne does, but...
No, that was great. You said it perfectly. Okay.
All right.
Did you mean to say iPad Mini? Or did you mean to say iPad?
Either one. iPad Mini. either one. You choose.
Okay, well...
I don't know. Which one's newer?
Well, one's a little cheaper than the other one, but not that okay. I'm cheap. I don't want to give that impression. But anyway, that's the exciting news, guys, is that we are going to give a partner, okay, a CFRN partner. Now, we gave Octavia... wow. You know what? I don't have time to show that video today because I know David's waiting, but... and it's not even, it's been so long, it's not even on the website anymore. Well, it's still there, but I don't think the page is active. But Octavia Tovar, the last time we gave away an iPad, Octavia Tovar won. And the video where he won, let me just see if it's still out there. You guys can go watch it later. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, I need to take the charts back.
There, okay.
Okay.
Yes, Pete, you'll know the night of the meeting.
Yeah, I don't have it hot linked on the site, guys. Hot link, that's not a sausage, but, well, it is, but that's not what I'm talking about. If you type in cfrn.net/iPad, okay, you can still go to the web page. It still lives out there. We had a winner. The winner was, gotta watch this video. I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to watch this because it's really pretty cool. But Octavia won, and don't enter in this box here because that's no longer. I should take that down now that I'm sending people to look at the video because you'll enter it and it won't. It's not. This was for the old contest, okay? This one, the old contest was open to. Everybody, this one, we're just doing something special for the partners. So, anyway, go watch this video later today. It's really, it only lasts a minute and 22 seconds, but it's fun. All right. Now, so that's good. That's new. That's exciting. And we're always happy to when we're able to give something back or to do something nice. We had a lot of fun giving away the last one. We'll find. I don't know if I can top the way we picked the winner for the last one, but I'll see what I can do, what I can come up with. I do want to say this really quick, guys. Michael's been doing a great job in the live trading room, and then he comes in, he does the recap, goes over everything. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Trading is risky. It's not suitable for all peoples, okay? That just it needs to be said. And it's on our website in great detail. In fact, I think it says something on our website about, do you want to trade E-mini futures? What, are you crazy? I think that's the exact wording. And then it goes into all the long, blown-out reasons, you know, why you might be crazy. But nonetheless, we continue to do that, all right? Now, last night I wrote a blog post, Rule-Based Trading, Four Steps to E-mini Success. Those are the four steps that Michael goes over each and every day in the recap, and that the partners see Michael actually trading in real time every day. And we've all fantasized at some point in our trading career about having a simple set of rules. A set of rules that if we just followed them, you know, day in, day out, all our E-mini dreams would come true. We've spent hours and weekends and days off and holidays chasing that magical formula. We've spent more hours on it than our wives care to remember. And time after time, you and I both had our eureka moment. The world stood still because we knew that finally, at last, we had it. We had distilled the perfect concoction. The most excellent vintage ever bottled was ours. Ours and ours alone. And from this point forward, we're going to rule the world, man. In a benevolent way, of course, right? Now, I've been there. I know the feeling, just like you do. So I went way out on a limb last night and said, I think this time, guys, we really do have something that can change your trading for good. I honestly do. And I went on to say, aren't I afraid I'll jinx things by talking about it? No, if it's that fragile, I don't want anything to do with it because I've been down that road too many times before. What we're talking about here is a four-step process. And it's in the blog. I want you to go read it. But a market makes a move with our two indicators. We qualify and quantify the move. The market pauses and or reverses the move. Then the market continues its journey. If the market stretches our slingshot during the retrace or the pause, we run with the continuation until we met our daily goal of 8 ticks. That's it. Stripped naked bare. There's nothing to break, nothing to not work anymore, because the market is always in motion. Now, sometimes it looks like it's, you know, died. But it's always moving. It's always making opportunities available in multiple directions, in all markets. Okay? So what we've done, it's not that we have necessarily discovered something new. We've just stripped away the shroud of mystery. We've created a set of glasses that allow you to see what's really there and what opportunities available. Okay? Now, you still have to bring stuff to the table. Discipline, a lot of other things, the ability that when... See, Michael, you always hear him go, well, we got it today in 2 trades in 12 minutes or whatever. But don't forget there was that day when it was 155 minutes and it was like 12 trades. See, you got to be able to bring to the table the ability to continue to put those trades on until you make that point or those 2 points or whatever it is that your goal happens to be. Do you follow me? So I don't want to make this sound easy, okay? We've tried to simplify it, but by no means am I saying it's easy because you have to bring an incredible amount of focus and discipline to the table. If you're able to bring those things to the table, then I think you can put this four-step process to work in your trading, okay? So I wrote about it in depth. It's in the blog. You can read it, and you can give it some thought. And if you want to take the free trial, you know where to go. cfrn.net/apply. If you've already taken it and you would like a second chance, send us an email telling us why you didn't take advantage of it the first time. Support at cfrn.net, and we'll take a look at it on a case-by-case basis, okay? Because I know everybody wants to be a partner so they can win the iPad, right? Mini. I believe it's a mini. I'll have to check. Check my inventory. Okay, Michael, anything else before we go to Vegas?
I think that's it. I got a couple of people who I have to get in touch with right now.
Okay.
I just got the emails from... that's it.
Okay, guys, do not touch your radio dial. We're headed out to Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. Robin won't be with us at this point in the radio program because she'll be back this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern for the Coach's Corner. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
David, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey,
well,
I got a message.
That's my song to the markets.
That is your song. I got a message here from Mike Reed, and he said he wanted to apologize that he hadn't been able to make it in this week, that he's 90% certain he'll be able to visit with us next week. But he wanted me to say hello to everybody, and he wanted to share his market outlook. And here it is, straight from the Trade Stalker. Everything is ripe for a top if we didn't already get it. There was the double top Friday and Monday at 1515. That is key on the bottom, 1508 below that. On top, buyers are backing off at the highs, and now another double top at 1522. Wednesday's high, 1521.75. Friday high, good selling, also 1520.5, 1521 area on a bounce. See the little 1-2-3 tops on a 5-minute chart. I'll bring up a 5-minute chart in a minute. And it all coincides with yet another test of 14,000 on the Dow Cash. The VIX dropped under 12.3, multi-year low made about a month ago. Absolutely no fear of even much of a pullback after a huge run-up. Sentiment and the put-call ratios are extremes too, so the sentiment is frothy. Internal components, advancing and declining stocks on intermediate term are lagging horribly. Internals heading down while prices heading up is a huge divergence under the surface. Fewer and fewer stocks are leading the way up. There's no broad participation like you would want to see. As for my short-term overbought, oversold indicators, they refuse to get overbought all the way up. This is a rarity. You would think strong moves would make internal components surge also, and that is what gets my indicators to overbought or oversold extremes, and that hasn't happened. Anyway, it should be finished if they break or hold the bottom of this range. So there you go, guys. Straight from Mike Reed, the Trade Stalker. Been at this for 27 years. We're at 5-year highs, and he thinks for now the top just might be in. And he wanted, even though he couldn't be here himself, he wanted to go on the record as saying that that's his thoughts. How about you, David? You got any thoughts?
I don't have many thoughts. I'm like
no,
one
I
of
mean,
those characters
you know.
In The Wizard of Oz. Who's the one that didn't who couldn't think?
I don't know. Was that the
Scarecrow or is that the If I Only Had a Brain? The yeah, I could while away the hours.
Yeah, the scarecrow.
Deferring with the flowers. And that's such a magical movie.
Definitely the scarecrow.
It is.
Yeah. My thoughts, they haven't changed much. Let's see. You know how when the magician tells you or the hypnotist says, clear your mind of all thoughts, it's really easy for me to do that. There's not much there. No. All right. I'm actually pretty much of the same opinion that I've been. I don't have much to change. I love Mike Reed, and he's a great guy just as a regular guy, and he also has just eons full of watching the market and studying and doing his work with the markets. However, I can only at this point, one of the things that concerns me for people who are interested in shorting the market is that we're in sort of a runaway market, and indicators of all kinds will show all kinds of signals in a runaway market that literally scream these kinds of indications, like, oh my God, this is incredible, this is huge, and so on. But you know, and I'm not saying that he doesn't know this side of the equation, but he's sitting on the other side. He's made his, you know, he knows both sides. But the side that I'm on a little bit is, or more on, is that I don't want to yet call the top. I think that, I mean, we know that 1515 is a very important, at least for us, and I think for Mike, from what he said, it is as well. It's an important target, but I've been around enough to know that the markets are going to show this kind of behavior where the indicators just scream, and yet the market just keeps going up. Certainly, it's going to top at some point, but at this point, I'm not ready to say that there's the top is in. A couple things, though. Certainly 1522, you know, this is a relatively minor level listed in our panel several days ago that they did respond to, and that is, obviously it's somewhat important, but for us, as long as they continue to close above 1515, that leaves us in the stronger position, and as long as we're above 1515, and I realize his work is, you know, saying once we get below 1515, well, I think we may end up seeing continued closes at or near or above 1515, that leaves the market in the stronger position for larger targets on the upside, which include, and I know we've repeated these numbers many times, but the 1538 to 1540 level, so or higher. So I think right now we're still in that mode where we would want to be cautious about taking too much stock of the indicators at this point. For me, that's kind of where I am, because we are in a runaway market. And remember, the markets run in different kinds of phases. It's like running into a person who is really angry and irritated, and normally you ask them something and they answer nicely, or you ask them for a favor and they do it for you. But because they're not in that phase, they're in a different phase, they're in their angry phase or their irritated phase, they act differently. So, you know, this market is in a runaway phase. This is sort of a, to me, is the ending, yes, of a bull market, but it's the runaway phase of a bull market. Take a look at the weekly chart of the S&P 500. And what you're looking at when you see that is very unusual behavior. It can't happen normally. When the market's in its normal condition, what you're seeing from the low, the late December 24th weekly bottom to where we are now, that kind of move cannot happen under normal market conditions. So we're not in normal market conditions, and we're near all-time highs.
Well,
so the market's in... I'm sorry?
Here's the point Mike was trying to make, I think, was that because of what you're saying right now and because of this chart that I have up here of the daily S&P, steady climb since the beginning of the year, those overbought indicators should be screaming. But the point of his email here was that his aren't.
Oh, based on okay. I must have misheard that.
Yeah,
I'm
based
sorry.
On everything that has happened, as for my short-term overbought, oversold indicators, they refuse to get overbought all the way up, and that's a rarity. You would
right.
think strong moves like this would make the internal components surge also, and that's what gets my indicators to overbought or oversold extremes, and that just hasn't happened. So his concern is that they should be, as you said, they should be screaming overbought right now, but they aren't. And so
yeah. Well, I'm not, I guess my whole thing is I'm just not ready to say that the top is in, and I think there's a likelihood, a decent likelihood for higher prices yet, and so that's where I am. That's all. You know, I don't think I'm in so much disagreement with him.
Right,
it's just
yeah.
a matter more or less of timing at this point, and I would want to caution, unless somebody knows what they're really doing and knows how to manage the trades and all that stuff, I would caution them in taking the short side of this market just yet because of many of these types of indications. Not only what Mike was saying about, you know, hey, this is unusual. He's seeing unusual indications on his indicators, all that stuff. We're going to see all kinds of things in this type of runaway market that just doesn't play out normally. And I've seen this before, and I'm sure Mike has as well. And I just lean on, I'm just a little bit less ready to say that the top is in here. I'm definitely less ready. Perhaps right now to say that. So we'll see. And this is what makes a market is that in this particular case, it's just a matter of timing. But I believe that there's a real possibility for continued higher prices that we've talked about. And I'm not ready to put positions on. As a matter of fact, we are, in our work, we're still selling puts against stocks and doing all the things that are essentially bets on the long side. And we're going to continue to do that until we start to see the really early signs of a larger, more important quarterly or monthly or longer time frame top get put in. And, we talked about this the other day, and some of the really big fund managers that are really great managers of money, and it would really be good for people to read up on some of these guys that have been doing this for a long time. It's a different world to some extent, trading these huge portfolios of stocks and the things that they do, as opposed to futures trading and just going for points the way that we do. But in their world, they're looking at this potentially as the beginning of a new bull market. I'm not. I believe this is the ending of an old bear market. Not even old, but 3.5 years, whatever, old from 2009. And we're up at really critical price levels here. I don't believe that we're going to be seeing the big sustainable breakout above all-time highs and then, running to new numbers. Hey, it's possible. But for right now, I'm not ready to say that the top is in, and we are still trading it. It's not even that we're kind of uncertain. We're still trading and selling premium for further advance. And by the way, we're going to show our latest statement. I mean, latest. The last one we showed was from January 22nd. This statement runs from April of 2011 forward to January 2012. January 2013, 22nd. But we have our latest statement that we'll show on our Tuesday upcoming webinar. And we'll see where we are with the options and all that stuff. I know we just took a bunch off and we just resold some new ones. So I don't know exactly where we are, but we'll all get a chance to see it. So just use caution on either side. I actually very much appreciate, on the other hand, Mike putting down what he thinks, because that is what he thinks, and that's what we want. Is we want to have straight here's what I think. Mm-hmm. That's a very good
and
thing
just
to put
clarify,
down.
Just to clarify, he said he says everything looks ripe for a top if we haven't already seen it. So
yeah.
He's not really calling a top here, but he is saying that everything looks and I've
yeah.
over the years he's sent me these types of well thought out indications, and he has a he's got a really good track record of these bigger picture kind of moves. He's got just a really good track record of being kind of spot on. So I'm just going to, you know, again, I'm not ready to just short the market and sell everything and go away, but certainly.
I don't think he would suggest
mind.
You do that either.
No,
you know,
not at all. So, I mean, for this week, it certainly looks like 1522 is going to be the high of the week. We got a couple more hours left in trading today.
Sure.
So, you know, anything can happen, but it's a Friday afternoon, and we're headed into a holiday weekend. We will be closed Monday. We won't be here. We won't be doing the live trading room or the radio show. Markets will be closed. So I don't see us taking out 1522 this afternoon, the high of the week so far. In fact, this morning on the run up, we came one tick shy of even getting back to 22, but it's close enough. 1521.75. It's close enough to call it a double top.
Mm-hmm. But oh yeah, that's a double.
We pulled right back into the weekly trading zone at 16/17 for support, and unless there's some shakeup when this asteroid comes hurtling by here in what, about an hour from now? Yeah, I think it's 2:46 Eastern, but again, they don't expect it to have any effect or impact on anyone. But it's coming really close. It's 5,000 miles closer than some of our geosynchronous satellites that we have in orbit. So
5,000 miles closer than a satellite? Because satellites aren't 5,000 miles high, are they?
I can read you the article again that I read at the start of the show. Let's see.
I mean, you can get into outer space like in 20 miles. You know, you go 20 miles up, you're in outer space. So 5,000 miles, I don't know that we have orbit satellites up at 5,000 miles. That's really far away.
Asteroid 2012 DA14 is 150 feet wide, about half the size of a football field, and will make its closest approach to Earth at 2:24 Eastern Standard Time when it passes over Indonesia. It will be about 5,000 miles closer to Earth than the communications satellites circling the planet in geosynchronous orbits.
So I guess geosynchronous must be really far out there, because there's three levels, as I understand it, of satellite. They have three different levels that they send them up on, and I suppose the geo is probably the furthest one away, and that has to be quite some distance.
I know very little about that.
So do I. That just sounded like a real far... To be 5,000 miles closer than a satellite sounds like a surprising thing.
Well, now the asteroid is going to pass at 17,150 miles. Let's see. Yeah. 17,150 miles. So if you throw another 5,000 on top of that, that means those geosynchronous satellites are 22,000 miles out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a surprise to me.
Now, again, I'm reading this from I just brought up another news article to try to compare to see if, you know, maybe one misquoted, but they seem to be on the same track. Anybody out there got anything different? Anyone out there know? Pete says that the geo is part of our GPS system. It's what, when you get in your car and it tells you to turn a left in two blocks or 20 feet, it's pinging off of that satellite. That's amazing.
Well, actually, as you were speaking, I did check up here, and it shows that the just interesting, just to me, that the circular orbit of a geo. Circular orbit is 22,236 miles above Earth's equator, and following the direction of Earth's rotation. So it's moving, of course, in the direction that the Earth is rotating. So an object in such an orbit has an orbital period equal to the Earth's rotational period, and thus appears motionless at a fixed position in the sky to the ground observers. Communication satellites and weather satellites are often given geostationary orbits so that the satellite antennas that communicate with them do not have to move to track them but can be pointed permanently at a position in the sky. And that's what you get with your satellite TV dish. You just point it over there in the sky because that satellite looks to the Earth like it's in the same spot at all times because it actually is moving with the Earth at all times. So that's what it is. And it is 22,236 miles. So this is an object that is coming in and is going to be 5,000 miles closer, roughly 17,000 miles from the Earth. And I don't know the last time that happened, but that sounds like news to me.
Well, and, you know, there was that thing in Russia today. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. I have not watched the news today. So.
Nearly 1,000 injured as a meteor fell today in Russia. And they're calling it a... It's estimated to be 10 tons. It had a speed of 33,000 miles an hour. I've got another news report that says they're premature with all that. But it did happen at 9:20 a.m. And 500 people were injured from shattering glass shattered. As they say, it had the force of an atomic explosion. And here's a amateur video of, I guess, the trail left behind. I don't know. I just came across this, so I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah, that's
now, they say
else.
That the two have absolutely nothing to do with one another. Wow, look at the destruction there. They say the two have, but it seems kind of, you know, and if they say it, they have nothing to do with each other, who am I to argue? But it seems kind of odd that these two things happen on the same day.
Well, coincidence, you know, there's a lot of objects in space, and you know, we don't see them very often, though, here. And the things that do land on Earth, you know, the destructive power that they have with the speed and the mass, and much of that is taken away, supposedly, in entering the orbit, entering the atmosphere. But, they can do tremendous damage. In fact, there's real good marks on the Earth of some of those objects that did get through our atmosphere and landed. And, you know, some of these great big holes that are in the Earth, all over the Earth, that are miles wide, were from objects that landed on Earth. So, yeah, one of these things can land, and they can just smash a 1 mile wide area, and then the destructive force of that hitting the Earth could, you know, cause tidal waves. If it was in the ocean, it would destroy lots and lots of stuff.
Here's some of the windows that were blown out of this building here. It'll show it in just a second. See right there?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why they're... Yeah, there's another one that got blown out. So, yeah. One report says 1,000 people injured. Another one says 500. But it just happened, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway...
Well, anyway, that's interesting. So there really are. These orbits of these things are further out than I would have just thought off the top of my head. The orbit is 22,236 miles out there, and this object is going to come 5,000 miles closer than that. And although it won't hurt the Earth or anything, it's kind of an early warning that, you know, we're going to have to address at some point these things, because one of the things... We know a lot of the objects that are out there, but the stuff we don't know, we don't know. There's all kinds of things we don't know that could be headed towards Earth, and we don't know the speed of them. So, you know, the movies that play that up, which is that, there's a satellite, I mean, not satellite, but a meteorite coming towards Earth, we really could wake up and find out that there's something speeding towards Earth at some ridiculous speed that could mean that it was going to hit the Earth in 35 days and that it's going to hit it really hard and it's really big. So we, you know, at some point, and there's been a lot of people calling for this, that we're going to have to spend some time and energy and money on making sure we have some plan that we actually can put into motion, because we don't know everything that's out there.
Gary makes a good point. This thing that's going to pass by today so close was discovered by amateurs, and it was only discovered... 2 years ago.
Yeah, there you are. So, and there's other ones that amateurs or no one may, it may just come out of nowhere. It may have been flying around for a million years. And, I don't know if you're subscribe to the theory that the Earth was created 6,000 years ago or not. I don't know if that's part of your belief, but whether it is or isn't, according to science, these things have been out there, and, you know, we're receiving light from planets that died a million years ago. You know, the light is still traveling, and we're receiving that now. Those planets have, or stars have blown up and so on. I'm not a believer in the 6,000-year thing that some parts of Christianity claim that the Earth, you know, began 6,000 years ago. You know what I'm talking about, right, Dwayne?
Mm-hmm.
But either way, there are objects potentially out there that have been flying for a great deal of time, and they're high speed. We don't know about them. They may show up, and we may end up only having a couple months to do something about it. So, and it has happened before, and they have gotten through our atmosphere. So it is it's a serious subject that we're floating around in outer space, the vast majority of which we can't see. So with regard to these objects, so hopefully we'll get these scientists and people on it. It is pretty remarkable when you think about what man has done in the short period of time that we've had the Industrial Revolution, when you putting aliens aside that landed, that told us how to do these things and all that stuff, which none of that I believe is true. I believe man came up with everything that we have right now. I think they studied it. We have plenty of proof of very, very brilliant men that would have been very capable. You know, we've talked about Heisenberg, you know, and how he figured out without any aliens that the subatomic particles would actually act like a wave and have no position until they're observed. That to me is one of the most remarkable insights, with a person not even having any access to the thing he has the insight in. He doesn't have an atom or a subatomic particle to even study at his time, and yet he came up with that. So I don't have any problem believing that man has produced everything that we have, lasers, you know, medical advances, and so on. We don't need aliens to do it, because we have really smart people that have proven themselves time and time again. Einstein, and the list goes on and on with this theory of relativity and so on, that later proved to be correct. So, you know, in the end, I actually lost my train of thought there on that one, because I love Heisenberg, and every time I mention him, my mind goes into a tizzy over how he knew that. It almost bothers me how he knew that. I don't know how he knew that. I want to find somebody that knows how he knew that. But anyway, we've come up with all this stuff in the Industrial Revolution, and it really is remarkable when you think about where we are. We have satellites floating out there that we've placed in an orbit that we knew that things would orbit, that we communicate with, and so on. It's really pretty remarkable. And if we could come back 100 years from now, I think it would be practically you would not even be able to recognize in 100 more years of technology what kind of things people are going to be walking around with, and what kind of things we're going to be doing with outer space and so on. So there is one other thing I want to mention. There are experiments going on right now that have shown, believe it or not, this is not science fiction, this is actually true, that teleportation, the moving of one object through time and space to another location, is actually possible and even foreseeable. And it's true because of the some of the theories that have proven out with regard to subatomic particles. There's one thing where a subatomic particle has an anti-particle, it has an opposite. And you can spread those two, you can put one over here and you can put one 75 miles from here. And whatever you do to this one, the other one will do it the opposite. And it makes no difference how far apart they are. It makes no difference not only how far apart they are, but it makes no difference in time. So it means that whatever you do, if you spread those two particles 2 million miles apart, then whatever you do to this one, the other one will do the exact opposite instantaneously, faster than the speed of light. In other words, for a while there, they thought, well, maybe the particles communicate in some way, but that communication, according to Einstein, could not go faster than the speed of light, which is the speed limit, supposedly, of the universe. But the fact is that the thing is responding instantaneously, and there is no communication really taking place between them. They're some way connected where time and space make no difference at all, in the least. And because of that, because of the fact that they can do that, that allows for the possibility of teleportation. It's a complicated, obviously, subject. So, but, I mean, we're really inching in on doing things that were science fiction that we all saw in Star Trek and other movies. We're inching in on being able to do that. may not happen in the next couple of years, but, you know, in the next 50 or 100 years of continued development, you know, we might be a whole lot closer. I think we will be. So there you are.
It
so
is amazing.
I know that doesn't have anything
to
do with markets, but
well, that's okay. And,
pretty interesting.
We do, we're 1 hour, give or take.
All right.
Away
you want
from,
me to go on to markets, Dwayne? Or are you
no,
still
no,
in?
No. I'm just saying we're 1 hour away from this thing passing over Indonesia.
Dwayne, are you there? Okay, well, if Dwayne isn't there and if I'm still on.
Oh, yeah, no, you're still on and I'm still here. I had hit the mute button for a moment. I was
okay.
Just saying that we're roughly 1 hour, give or take, from this thing passing over Indonesia. So, again, no one expects anything to happen. But also, nobody expected that thing to hit Russia today. That wasn't forecast or predicted. And it was, you know, I don't know if you'd call it catastrophic. I guess if you're one of the 500 people that got hurt, you would probably consider it catastrophic. So something of this magnitude, it's half the size of a football field. And it's moving at, what did I say, 33,000 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Is that
really fast?
Is that what I said? Yeah, just call it really fast. It's a half the size of a football field moving really, really fast. To know with any certainty how it's going to behave or what it's going to do, I just pray they're right. You know, I pray they're right. It just zooms right on by, and we don't even...
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, according to Richard, he said the Mayans, it was plus or minus 1 month that it would... I'm not... Richard, are you talking about today's asteroid? Are you saying they forecast today's asteroid? Or are you just making a joke? I think you're just making a joke.
He may, the plus or minus, he may be playing. You know, I have heard, and I just, you know, today is kind of a, obviously a very slow day in the market, so we'll take just another moment here, but I've heard people talk about the Mayans being wrong because the Earth didn't end on, you know, December 23rd, 2012, and, you know, we talked about this for a whole year about that it was very unlikely that anything was going to happen on the day that was unusual or, and that is the case. That is what happened. But it doesn't mean that they're wrong, because I believe that what may later be seen, which would be seen upon retrospect looking back, is that there was some shift of some kind that took place that, you know, that we can see only from a distance, you know, so to speak, from, you know, more time passing and so on. So I'm not ready to write the Mayans off yet. About their cycles, and their cycles were based, by the way, on planets. So whether or not you believe in astrology, there is a difference between astrology and astronomy, but astrology is using astronomy to make certain kinds of forecasts, predictions, or, you know, characteristics of people and so on, and it doesn't really matter whether a person believes in that or not. The Mayans were really not doing that. They were following and tracking planetary cycles literally as a science. They were tracking them, and they knew where the Earth was relative to the other planets, and which is a very complex thing because the Earth is spinning, and it's also rotating around the Sun. So what we see is a very complex picture when we're looking out at these other planets, because we're in motion as well. So it's a really it's a big deal. So they figured it all out over a long, long period of time. So... because it took a long period of time to know what was going on out in space. So it was a planetary cycle that they're talking about. Or if it wasn't a direct cycle, it was a portion of a full planetary cycle. And so they, you know, those were not spun into motion by man. So since they were spun into motion by nature or God or however you want to say it, they have more importance than something that might be simply created by man, a more temporary thing. I mean, everything ultimately is temporary, but it's on what scale you're looking at. So either way, it is really interesting, and I'm not willing to write the Mayans off yet by saying that because we didn't have a cataclysm on that date. And there again is another date where people, you know, go all over the internet. They made videos, they did this, and again, it's just I wish I could bet money in some way on these people and these kinds of forecasts being incorrect, you know, the gloom and doom and the ends of the earth and all that stuff, because they just about always are. All right. You want to get over to the markets now, Dwayne?
You bet. Let's do it.
Okay. I don't have anything to add to the S&P, so we'll move on past that, and we'll just take a quick tour of a few of the markets. We do have some decent-sized moves today for it being a pre-holiday market. In the gold market, we recently broke the 1660 level, which we had talked about being very important to that would turn the trend down and so on. And gold has continued to decline and broke last month's low. So at one point, we were talking about the month of January being a low in the market, but we also had some concern that stopped us from going long, and some of those things had to do with, obviously, what the market was doing at the time. And then they broke the 1660 level, which tells us that much lower prices are likely, and we did get those. So for those of you who are in our product, we're going to have another roadmap that comes out regarding this whole move and what the gold market has done, where we think it's going to go, and so on. But for the time being, it has reached a number of the important targets on the downside. There is, we had sent out a report this morning before they'd gotten there, but that 1598 would need to be touched prior to the ending of the decline. This is when we were around 1625. So they did complete that today. Today's low is 1593 or 1599, eight, something like that, somewhere around there. I don't have it right directly in front of me. I'm looking at a longer-term chart.
The low today was 1596.70.
96 on the April contract of gold, 1596.70.
Right. Yep.
So anyway, so we're going to watch this into next month. If you want to, we will have a new roadmap coming out on gold because of this move. So we'll keep an eye on it. And the two targets that we had talked about on the program over the last week or so, which was that the market would go down to 1635 and then into next week hit 1627. All of that got completed today, Friday, just prior to next week. And so that shows that the market is running just a little bit ahead, and that's fine, and it helps set up the next important move in this market. So we'll talk about that next week. Let's see. Let's move on beyond that. I don't have anything for Facebook, Dwayne. We've talked about that so many times, but they've had a couple of day bounce in their decline here, and they're still technically in a decline, talking about Facebook, but nothing new from me, unless you have anything on it.
Well, they're starting a new thing where you can promote a friend's post in the news feed for $7. And let's say your friend's running in a marathon or something, and they put up a post about that, whatever it might be. They're holding a car wash or it can be anything, a graduation, doesn't matter. You can
giving away an iPad?
Giving away an iPad, exactly. You can sponsor that for $7. That keeps it at the top of people's news feed who are connected to that individual. And so while the scope of that article is, well, you have to think in concentric circles as to if there is any limitation, and perhaps there's not. But what's interesting is they have a billion users, okay? And estimates are that maybe half of those are actually real. And, okay, and let's say that, which is 500 million, and let's say that only 10% of those people actually come on and use it on any given day. So we've narrowed it down to, 50 million people? Yeah, okay. We started with a billion. We have that to 500 million. And then we said 10% of that. So now we're down to 50 million. So if 10% of their purported user base actually comes on every day, that's an audience of 50 million people who potentially might spend $7 to sponsor one of their friends or family members' posts. On the surface, it might not seem like much, but because of the scale and the number of people that use Facebook, mm-hmm. I think it could actually become a very significant stream of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
You've got 50 million people being given the opportunity to spend $7 to promote something that they find of interest that's going on in one of their friends or family members' life. And what is the cost for Facebook to produce and deliver this product? Zero. The infrastructure is already there. All they're doing is moving that post. They're keeping that post at the top of the related people's news feed. That's all they're doing. So there's no cost of production there, no cost of delivery. That's $7 of pure profit. I mean, the infrastructure is already paid for. It's already built into the equation. So I think we're going to hear a lot about this, especially over the next couple of weeks, as we find out how many people are going to adopt this and actually start to use this. This could have a very big impact on the earnings that they report for this quarter. So that's it for Facebook. That's the only news that I know of.
All right. We'll just zip along. I don't have anything. There's some of these markets we won't have much on. I don't have anything to add to the U.S. Treasury bond market. We talked about a daily bottom on February 13th for an advance. We got that. Normally there would be a top due on the 18th, which is Monday, but Monday is a holiday, and it looks like it came in today anyway. This is just minor stuff on the Treasury bond market, so nothing to really necessarily trade. Anybody with reflected wave knows about that. We're looking for longer term February bottom in that market, in the U.S. Treasury bond market. The euro continues to decline. You know, I don't have anything really to add to that either. We had originally called for a move down to from the top in February down to 133.85 or lower. They've now made a new low of 133.08, so they've had a very nice decline. And there is a possibility for a bounce here, but this is something, you know, I won't go into the details here. You know, that's something for subscribers more than just commenting here. It has a little more detail and nuance to it. And then let's see. A couple other things that I think are interesting today. One, of course, is the crude oil market. On the program a few days back, we had forecast that February 13th would mark the next important top in the crude oil market on a daily basis, and that we would expect, of course, a multi-day decline. And that decline could be the decline that actually starts the bigger move down. So crude's down pretty good today. I don't know what the news is. I don't particularly care, but I don't know if you know what the news is in crude today, Dwayne.
I don't.
Okay. But they've had a pretty good move down. They're down about $1.50 right now. And that's the decent sized move in a single day in crude. They've been as low as $95.68 or 78 cents, 95.78, and they've bounced a little bit. I believe they're going lower from here, and I believe they can be shorted. So I'm not afraid to say that a person could short the market on any of these bounces, literally, and be okay. So if you're okay with holding overnight, that's a different story. But if you're okay with doing that, then I think the market is primed for further decline. At the very least, you would have a lead in the position from when they do get down to somewhat lower prices to decide how you want to take it from there. So keep that in mind. Interesting development and expected development off of this. This is anybody with reflected wave would have known about the February 13th daily reflected wave top. And this leaves crude in a interesting and more vulnerable position coming into next week. And so we'll, you know, after these forecasts are done, it's very easy to come back and say, you know, well, here's, look what happened, and here's what it is, and so on. But in actually trading them and actually having real positions on and having to manage that against what is known at the time, putting the larger forecast aside and having to deal with the intraday, it's a lot more than it seems. It's very easy going in retrospect after the fact, as everybody knows. But we're dealing with this in real time, and this is obviously very helpful to all of our positions, those of us who are trading the larger roadmap. But we still have to deal with the day by day as we get into the month of March and so on. So I'm happy to see this. I would like to see them, you know, close about where they are or lower. And I believe that we are going lower into next week. So we will see lower prices before this is over. Let's see. I think we can head over to, one other thing I wanted to mention is, well, we've talked about this, the Australian dollar. We've gone over that many times already, but we're keeping an eye on that. We had forecast a top, or reflected wave, I should say, forecast a top on February 14th for that market. They made a slight new high today, one day late, and they sold them off real good. So this is what we talked about, is that we want to short rallies on the way down in this particular market to the test or attempt at the 101.64 level that we've mentioned so many times here. I may not have that number exactly right, but roughly 101.64. That was an original target from a while back, and we think the market wants to try to go test that. We'll see. But for the time being, we wanted to sell rallies. We got our rally. They put in the high. They did it in a way that would have made it pretty easy to trade this on the short side. So if anybody did trade, I'd like to hear about it. One other thing, we'll talk about Tesla for a second. There's even more going on with this guy, the news reporter, and the Elon Musk, and I don't have all the details. We'll talk about it next week if we want to, about their car and the range and all the stuff that we've been over already. So we'll see how that plays out. A few other things. Let's take a look at the – okay, I don't have anything to add to the dollar except that a daily close today in the dollar above that 806.10 level, which would normally be difficult to close above. They're testing that level right now. We're at 805.95, and we've been above that. So keep an eye on that, because that will help you or anybody else who's trading me whether the market's in a stronger position or not, because daily close – normally, they would have trouble closing above 806.10 today, even though they're very close to it right now. If they can close above that level, that puts the market in a stronger position. This is the dollar coming into next week. So we'll keep that in mind and talk about it next week. We come back, of course, on Tuesday, just like everybody else does. And let's see. I think that might be it, Dwayne. Let's go. You know, for those of you who are interested in copper, we still think copper has lower prices coming. Won't add much to that before their move is over on the downside. And I wonder, there was one other thing. That's what it was. It was natural gas. This is another good example of a market that you can sell in a rally with a future price level that you believe is imminent. And we did that back, many, many days ago. This was back on the radio back in January 21st, January 18th. That top we felt might be the top to send the prices down to our forecast for $2.98 in February. And that top was way up high at like $3.64 or $364. So they're now trading down at $315. They've had a really nice move down. And today's low, it was now $312. So we've gotten within, $12 now of touching the $298 that was due in the month of February. So if they do get down there, we're going to issue a roadmap for this market for a important new move off of the natural gas. So keep that in mind, and that's coming up. And I think that's everything we have, Dwayne. I really would like everybody to have a wonderful weekend here. We got a nice 3-day weekend. I wonder what people are going to do with all that time, all that free time.
I don't know.
They could do what traders do: boating, skiing, fishing, hunting, smoking cigars, having wild nightlife, that sort of thing.
What do you plan to do with your time? All of the above?
I'll be doing all of that.
All of the above?
I'm a trader.
Very good.
Those are the things I do. No, those are the things you hear about and read about in magazines that traders do. I'm just making fun of that because most traders don't do those things. Most traders are in front of their screens trying to figure out what their next move is, or watching or monitoring their positions and whatnot. No, I'm going to have a nice weekend off. You know, I've mentioned on the radio many times that I play guitar. I love the instrument. I love others that play the instrument well. I was lucky enough to, I'm a big fan of a guitarist named Greg Howe. His last name is H-O-W-E. You can go on YouTube or go listen to Jumpstart. Go find a YouTube video, not of him playing it live, but the recording, or go onto iTunes and listen to Jumpstart, and you'll hear what just a literally savant musician this guy is. You may not like his style of music, but you know, geniuses come in all shapes, sizes, and whatever they do, and he's a musical genius, and he has a new album. What I was going to say was, I was just a person that listened to his guitar playing, just in complete awe of his approach and everything, and his skill and his musicality was just beyond anything I had heard. And anyway, so I was a fan for many, many, many years, and I finally just had enough of it. And after, you know, this was in the early 90s when I first heard him, and after probably somewhere in late 1999 or 2000 or 2004, somewhere before I moved to our newer offices, I guess I was old enough where I just didn't care anymore. I didn't want to be a fan. I wanted to really meet the guy, and I didn't want to have to go to a place that he was playing and try to, you know, get up in there and say hi and all this. So as bold as this sounds, I just called up his agent and said, what do I need to pay to get him to come out here to see me? How you doing? Instead of me coming and seeing him, you know, what do I have to do to get him to come out to Las Vegas? So we made that arrangement, what I needed to do. And he got on an airplane, and he came out to Las Vegas. And I thought, you know, all I wanted to do was sit him down and have him play guitar in front of me, because I just could not fathom what I was hearing on these albums. And as it turned out, he got on an airplane. He came out here. He got into the car. He went to a hotel. I picked him up from the hotel and met him. Hey, hi, I'm David. You know, I'm a fan. And we drove around. And believe it or not, we spent the next – he was here for 3 days. We spent 3 days driving around the city of Las Vegas talking. That's all we did. We didn't play guitar. There was one little short little session where he brought a guitar out. But the whole time I spent with him, all we did was drive around Las Vegas in my car talking, and we ended up becoming friends, and he ended up moving to Las Vegas. So he now lives here in Las Vegas, and I know him like an ordinary person. It'd be like, me and Dwayne talking, or anybody else. He's just an ordinary guy to me who has extraordinary talent. And I never forget what he's completed, because, you know, if you're, you know, there's an old saying, a prophet isn't recognized in his own hometown. You know where that comes from?
Mm-hmm. I've read the book.
Yeah. And it's a very, very good saying, because what it means it has many levels, but on one of the ordinary levels you can take it as is that, you know, if somebody's too familiar to you, that's just Joe. You know, when Jesus first revealed himself, people said, well, isn't that, you know, the son of Joseph? And, you know, how could this be some great person? Because he's right here. He's in our midst. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not recognized in their own hometown. And in a sense, when you get to know somebody who's done really great things, often if you become a friend with them, that friendship becomes, you know, normal, like it should. But I don't forget what he's done. And he hasn't become a prophet who isn't recognized in my own hometown. I know that he's, even though we just have an ordinary friendship like anybody, I know that he's done these great things, and I don't forget that. So anyway, go check him out. But what he has encouraged me, after all these years, believe it or not, I have never played for Greg either, because I just crumple in front of him, because he's such a... you think I'd be able to pick up the guitar and play for him, but I just crumpled. Well, I've decided, and he has decided, that it's time for me to do that. So he and I are going to go, and I'm going to get a little recording equipment in my home so that I can actually lay down some tracks. And then I'm going to show it to you guys, and I'll show it to him as well. And you know what? I'd like to have him on this gosh darn radio program. That's what I'd like to do, Dwayne.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. Now, it's not market stuff, but he's in his own world, and maybe somebody out there would be interested. It might be just for a little variety at some point. We could have him on the program and you know, it's so funny. People are born, they have these little pockets of profound talent that are in them. They're just completely normal in every other way, but they can just so happen to be able to fly to the moon and back. You know, that's like something that they can do. And he's one of these guys that's like that. And so, you know, I'm sure that somebody in the audience has somebody in your life that's like that, either a fabulous intellectual or a fabulous musician or a fabulous artist or somebody who's done something. And somehow they just were gifted with a talent that they worked up to some enormous skill level.
Bruce says that story reminds him of his niece and Justin Bieber.
And what is that story?
The story about you and Greg Howe.
Okay. And so what is his story about the niece and Justin Bieber? Is that that...
she's a really big fan of...
Oh, I see. That he's... Yeah, okay. And that he's friends.
She has
yeah,
the
and you know what?
Fever, I guess.
Yeah. it's funny. When I was in school... Well, I'm 55, so when I was in school, anybody that looked or sounded or sang like Justin Bieber, the guys in the school would have been saying, "That's so gay." That's what they would have said, or whatever the word was back then.
Yeah.
Now, because I have a son in high school, Justin Bieber is a god to all the men in high school. There's no two ways about it. They dress like him. They out here. They have the hair like him. All of them. They love it. So the times have really changed. Because it certainly wasn't that way back in my day. And Justin Bieber is very talented. Whether you like his music or not is a different question. But he's an extremely talented, very, very young, beyond his years kind of guy. You know, again, whether you like him or not. But he obviously has real talent. And, you know, he deserves the success that he's got and so on. So, anyway, so there you are, Dwayne. I think I'm going to spend some time this weekend trying to get some of this stuff together where I can actually spend some time playing guitar. And I'm first going to show my stuff to Greg Howe. I'm going to finally, after knowing him for all these years, we can say, "Hey, Greg, you ever want to play?" And I'm going to say, "Here, plug this in." Then in my dreams, he's going to say, "Gosh, could I take lessons from you?" No, go ahead.
Oh, man. That's funny. Well,
are you musical, Dwayne, or do you play anything?
No.
Or
no, I play the radio from time to time, but that's about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
My son is learning how to play the saxophone. He's doing quite well. And my little girl, has great musical inclinations. She... has an uncanny knack for remembering lyrics, and she'll just sing up a storm. So she'll hear a song one time, you know, at church during praise and worship, and then that afternoon she's just walking around the house just singing the song as if she'd been practicing it and someone had taught it to her. So
isn't that funny? They have the memory. That's a great little example
this morning,
of that thing.
She's five. She's 5 years old, and I was driving her to school this morning, and I had the radio on. The news was on, and... she said, "Dad?" I go, "Yep." She goes, "What's a filibuster?" Like, wow. I mean, out of this string of the news that was just, you know, prattling on the radio, that particular word, for whatever reason, you know, jumped out at her, which made me start to question. So in other words, if she's asking me what does filibuster mean, does that mean that she already understands all of these other words, you know, that they're...
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I did my best to explain to her, you know, what that meant. And I just thought it was interesting that a five-year-old, you know, we're just driving to school, listening to the news, and she wants to know, because they obviously said filibuster, and she wanted to know what it meant.
Yeah. I just took my little piece to that is I used to know a Filipino woman who her unique talent was that it didn't. Have you ever played that game where you have the little circle and it has buttons on it that light up? And when you push one of the buttons, it'll play you a tone, and then you push that button, it'll play you another tone on top of that. And now you have to remember two notes, and then you have to remember three notes, and four notes, and five notes, and six notes. She had no limit. She had no limit. The average person that plays that game, when you get up to about eight or nine notes. I forgot the name of it. Maybe one of the people in the audience know what it is, but it's It'll play a tone and it lights it up, and so you have two ways to remember it. You remember it by visual, by the light, and you can remember by the light or the tone. And so, you know, D, and you hit the next one and the tones are moving, and finally when you get to about 8, 9 of those, most people, they can't remember the whole melody. I never found out how far she could go. I could not, you know, we'd sit there and it'd be ridiculous. I mean, she could remember, I don't know what the limit was. I mean, she could remember 30 or 40 notes in sequence without any trouble at all. I don't know of anybody that can do that. So kind of like your daughter with the remembering of words and, you know, she's listening to a song, she's capturing all of that information and putting it in all its right little places so that she can play it back perfectly. And this woman had this ability that I've never seen since, where somebody can remember huge sequences of notes, just like they're being recorded on her tape recorder in her brain. And then she just pushes a button and it just plays it back. We're all struggling with it consciously to try to consciously remember it. There's another section of your brain that can do all that for you, but we're trying to manage it in the front end RAM, so to speak, and there's another way to do it. And she was doing it, and it was no problem for her to remember 30 or 40 notes. So finally, I just put the thing aside and say, okay, let's move on to something else.
I thought somewhere in this story you were going to tell me that her name was Buster.
Why is that?
Because you said she was Filipino, and I had mentioned filibuster. So.
Oh, okay.
But
Did
I get it wrong?
No. Her name was Jing, which is a common Filipino name.
That's an amazing thing. If she could do that with music, she probably was able to apply that skill to other things as well, right?
Well, it tells me that what I've thought for a long time is that when you struggle with something in your front-end mind where you're trying to keep a bunch of little bits and pieces in place, that task is already, there's machinery, you know, so to speak, in your brain that already can do all that for you. And somehow she had a natural way of accessing that. She could just play it back like it was a recording. It literally was just like that. She's not even struggling. It's not like she's going, oh, what was that note? It's just like, do, 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 you know, it just all comes back out, just like it was recorded.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it is amazing. And it really opens your eyes to what some of the possibilities are. So, Duane, listen, thanks very much for having me on the program. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend and gets some other time in other than markets so that we can, freshen up for next week. And I'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll get started with the markets. I think there's some real interesting things that happened today. If we close above 1515 on the S&P, I still like the long side. And I'm looking forward to being here next week. I'm looking forward to some time off as well.
All right. Well, listen, have a great time. Have some fun. Enjoy your music. And we'll
see you
Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you guys very much. See you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending.
Hey, here's a reminder, guys, that Corner comes up in 1 hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, 15 minutes after the asteroid. 2:47, I believe, Eastern is when the asteroid is supposed to pass over Indonesia in the blink of an eye, because it's going really fast. And I don't think you'll be able to see it because it's way up there. Even though it's close, it's still way up there. So, you don't have to go anywhere or do anything or sign up. Just leave this room open. If you have the room open right now, simply leave it open. And Robin and I will be back at 3 p.m. Eastern for the Coach's Corner. I'm not sure what the topic is today. She was going to email me, and I don't know if she did, but I'm sure it'll be good. Now, the way we normally do it, she'll talk for 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll open the floor for any questions. And you might have a question that doesn't even have anything to do with today's topic. That's okay. We'll talk about it and answer it if we can. We'll certainly give it a try. In the meantime, I'll play something for you, some pre-recorded material, some preaching, some teaching, some music, whatever's in the playlist. I want to point out on this chart that I happen to have up, because we brought up natural gas, and I had the dynamic support and resistance indicator loaded on the chart. And I'll change it to a couple different charts, and I'll show you, give you an idea of how this works, because any of you that are, if you've been around a while, Now, you've seen this and you understand it and you know how it works. If you're new, I probably haven't had it up on a chart in a year during the live radio broadcast, because I try to minimalize the chart so you can see the price action. Okay, if I start putting a bunch of stuff up there, then it just gets confusing for people that aren't familiar with our indicators and our method of trading. So, I did want to mention, Cliff had typed this in earlier, and I got sidetracked, and now Cliff's gone. The sonic boom this morning from the meteor that crashed in Russia was equivalent to an atomic bomb explosion. Let me type in a message here to somebody. It's in the chat room. Okay. All right. So I wanted to show you this. I've shown you here broken support. Okay. The green dots, these are dynamic. And what that means is they print in real time as the market unfolds. Let me give you an example here. Well, let me just show you this while I got this chart up. Okay. As you can see, price came up and found resistance. Dynamic resistance. Came down and it found dynamic support, which is different from fixed support and resistance. I'll show you an example of fixed support and resistance in just a moment. Okay, a really good trade is when you have broken support or resistance using this particular indicator. Okay, price came down. This is an hourly chart. I'm sorry, this is a daily chart. This indicator held price in check for one. Well, the indicator didn't hold price in check, but you get my point. 1, 2, 3, 4 days. On the fifth day, it finally, you know, broke through. So now we have broken support. Okay. Now, could you have traded the support? You could have. Certainly, the support level is 325, and the swing high off that was 332. But whatever that means in natural gas money, I think that's a significant move. Let's see, the support level was 3258, and then the swing high was 3323. So whatever that is in natural gas dollars, that's what it is. Okay, but now it broke through, so what happens next? Well, come over here and look at this. Now, if we go back on this chart, you can see price came down, dynamic support printed in real time. Price made a nice run up from, I think, 360 up to 4 dollars. Then it started to print resistance. Okay, so it came down and it hit dynamic support. Okay, just like here, it hit dynamic support, but then it pushed down through support. Okay, important areas are almost always tested, right? I know you hear this a lot, but this is just another example in a different way. What does price do? It comes right back up and it tests that exact level, okay, puts in a doji, and then the move is really nice. So what I said earlier about anytime you have, using the CFRN, dynamic support and resistance indicator, anytime you have broken support or resistance, that can lead to a very nice trading opportunity. Of course, the way the indicator, the mathematical formula is designed to work is that it gives you a support level to buy. Okay, so you'd have been buying the market here and selling the market here. Once you get here, of course, you're looking to buy. Now, if you just blindly bought it, you would have probably gotten stopped out. Had you waited for any type of confirmation, you may or may not have gotten into that trade. However, once it broke and pulled back, and you see this hold, and it's daily, and you get this doji, you're pretty comfortable getting short as you take out the low of this doji candle right here, And that, in fact, leads to a pretty nice move, as they call it. Okay. Now, once we break support, we have to find resistance again. It would seem like, okay, support was broken, so it should print support again. But that's not the way it works. It gave you its best indication of where you would find support. That failed. It's now going to give you resistance. It's not going to print green again. It's going to print the red dots, resistance. And so it runs up. And on this day here, it tells you you've run into a wall. And then you see this drop, which was from the high 36.36 down to, oh, this swing low right here was 32.32, which again, because these are daily candles, that's a pretty good move. Now, with this indicator, you can put it on a daily chart, a weekly chart, an hourly chart, a 5-minute chart, a 2100 tick chart, or a 10,000 contract chart. It's a mathematical formula, and because markets are fractal in nature, you put it any place that you want. Okay. In fact, I'll throw up a couple different markets just real quick. Just to give you an idea of how it works. This is a daily chart on natural gas. Let's see what soybeans look like. I have no idea. Oh, and by the way, for those of you that use the DT Pro platform, you may or may not know this. One of our partners revealed this the other night in a partners meeting. If you go over here to the price column and left click your left mouse button, double click it, it makes price reconcile itself in the center of the platform the way it's supposed to. Okay, so let's look at the soybeans. Price comes down. We get support here at 1369. Price rallies up to resistance at 1493.75. That's a nice move. That stretched from November the 6th up until December 11th. Now, chances are, on this first day when you get this resistance printing up here, you're probably looking to exit the market because you've had a really nice run. Okay, here's resistance. Back down to support. Okay, so we go from 1494 back down to support at 1386. So from, now think about that, 1494 to 1386. That is a 100 penny move in soybeans. 100 penny move in soybeans is equivalent to 100 points in the S&P E-mini. Now, if you were just trading this off of a daily chart, this would have been a really nice trade to be in. You didn't have, I mean, it didn't, either one of these moves, they're both roughly about 100 points in the S&P. It was just sort of a nice little, you know, from a daily perspective. Now, if you go down to smaller time frames, you know, price is going to be all over the place. I'm pointing this out on a daily chart. I'm also pointing it out after the fact. That makes it a little easier, too. But the dots are printing in real time. So you've got to be able to think on your seat. Okay, the red dots, it's telling me I should be short. Okay, now how am I going to get short? And how am I going to stay short? Now, what are my parameters and what is my stop loss? How much am I willing to risk? But once you're in the trade, basically your job is to stay in the trade until you see support print. And once support prints, you're looking to be out. And once support prints, then you're looking for a way to be long the market. Now, once this thing came down and printed the first green dot, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it was like 8 days of just going sideways. And these tails here, that's a pretty good distance because these are daily candles, remember. But again, you can put this on an hourly, put on 30-minute, put on 5-minute. Markets are fractal in nature, so this mathematical formula is going to work either way. So you want to be, basically, you want to buy the market here at 1386, and it makes a nice little rally up to 1496. So you had the equivalent of 100 points in the S&P up, 100 points in the S&P down, 100 points in the S&P back up, and we're working on probably equivalent of about 75 points in the S&P back down. See how we're starting to go sideways a little bit here? I wouldn't be surprised to see over the next couple days dynamic support start to print right here. Okay, so that's a look at the soybean chart. If anybody has a particular market you want me to look at, I'll be happy to. All you got to do is just type it in. And Don, I don't know how long ago you typed that question in, but yeah, you can put it on any time frame chart. If you're a partner, you have this tool already in your toolbox. All you got to do is break it out and put it on a chart. Patrick says, let's look at gold. Okay. We'll take a look at gold. Okay. So gold, okay, here we have an example. We'll start on the left-hand side of the screen. We came down and support, dynamic support, was broken. Okay. By quite a bit. But it comes back to test that area. And once it comes back to test it at 1741.90, it sells off to 1708. And then it comes back again, and this time it pushes through it, and it resistance. It nails this pretty good. 1756.30. And from 1756.30, it goes down to 1686.30 before it prints support. But again, we have dynamic. Now, we get a nice bounce off the dynamic support. It bounces from 1686.30 up to 1726.70. Then it comes back to test that area again. This time it does not pass the test. Okay, it breaks support. Interestingly, it never printed resistance here. Okay, it just came back. It was going to make another run at it, and it didn't play out. So we break support, but we come back to test support at 1686, and we sell off down to 1644. And we hit resistance, support, resistance. The last resistance we had was at 1700, round number 1700. Okay, and price kind of went sideways there for 1, 2, 3, 4 days. Sold off from 1700 down to 1655 is where dynamic support printed. Now, we got a nice little bounce, but again, support gets broken. We get only one resistance dot here. That's kind of unusual. And then we break support again. So, you know, gold's really been taking it on the chin, but you could have used this one tool right here on a daily chart to navigate this market along. And here's the thing is you don't have to trade just using this. You don't have to put everything else away. You could, but you don't have to. You can simply use this tool to kind of steer you in the right direction, if you follow what I'm saying. Could you please look at TB futures? I'm not sure which market you're referring to, Maria. Which market is it that you're asking about? Did you mean TF? Were you talking about the Russell? Oh, the bonds. Okay, I'm sorry. So that would be ZBH. Are we still in the March contract? I think we are. That's what I brought up earlier. Okay. So, here we hit resistance, down to support, up to resistance. Here we have broken resistance to the upside. Okay. Comes back to find support, to find resistance from this resistance up here at 150.29. It finds support at 147.08. But we end up breaking that support. Now remember, after support, once it's broken, the next you would think, I mean, it seems logical that it's going to look for support here, but it's not. Once it finds support, whether it holds or is broken, the way the formula works is that it's going to now find resistance. And so that's what it does. It comes up here and it finds resistance at 146.06, and it sells off down to 142.18. That's where it prints support. And once it printed support, that's hell now for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 12 days. Okay. So could this be a standalone tool? It could. But if you have other methods and other things that you utilize, then I think this should be used as a confirmation tool, as a directional tool. But again, for a while, a couple years ago, I did a number of calls on the show using just this tool. Not calls necessarily, but I pointed it out on almost a daily basis. And I didn't stop bringing it on the show because it stopped working. And I hate that term. I don't like, because things about, you know, oh, it's working or it's not working, or people say, hey, does this work? You know, everything that we do is designed around this concept. It follows the underlying rhythm of the market. So in order for it to stop working, the market would have to stop working, because all it's doing is mirroring a pattern that's inherent in the market itself. But that's a whole other soapbox that I don't want to crawl on, so I'll leave that alone. Okay. I just installed DT Pro. I had to step away for a minute and missed which indicator you were just discussing available on the platform. Chad, have you installed the CFRN indicators? If you have, you just right-click on the platform, go to Indicators, go to CFRN, and it's called CFSR. CFSR. Okay. And out on our YouTube channel, there's a little video about it. YouTube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. Okay, let's see what other questions we have over here. Okay, we did the treasury bond. We did the gold. You know, Richard, I looked at... Richard's asking if I could do weekly trading zones for the bonds. I took a shot at it a while back, Richard, and the results I didn't feel were worth publishing. I think I published them for a couple weeks, and I wasn't happy with the results, and so I stopped publishing them. I will be happy to take another look at it and see what I can come up with. Okay, let's see what else. So now, Chad, did you see how I did that? Okay. You right-click, indicator, CFRN, CFSR. Just click that, and it'll plop it right on your chart. Okay, I'm scrolling up through the questions. Can you show anything on a 60-minute? Sure, Don. In fact, I've already got it loaded on this 60-minute chart right here, which is the S&P. Going back to Sunday night, or actually we go back to last Friday afternoon, 1 week ago, we had dynamic resistance print here, dynamic support, dynamic resistance. Now, we talked about this in the partners workshop quite a bit last night. Okay, the support... the weekly trading zones, that is fixed support and resistance. In other words, I send those out to the partners before the market opens on Monday morning. So that's cast in stone. That's not going to change for the entire week. Someone asked last night, what do you mean by dynamic? Well, by dynamic, these print in real time as the market is unfolding. So the weekly trading zones those are based on past price action. The dynamic support and resistance, they're based on current price action. Now, what happens when you combine prior price action with current price action? Well, you get a situation like this where you have the dynamic support and resistance printing at a weekly trading zone. That's usually a really good indication of a place to get short or get long. Because prior price action gave us the weekly trading zone. Current price action gives us the dynamic support and resistance. And what happened? Price went from zone to zone. Okay. Not a big move from 16 down to 11, but 5 points nonetheless. And in this market of late, 5 points is a pretty good move. Okay, price rallies up out of there, and then we print dynamic support, and then we get a little bit of a move, not much, and we run right into dynamic resistance, which pushes us back down into the zone. This was on Tuesday of this week. And once we get into the zone, now this is an hourly chart, not a daily chart. And somebody just typed me a message in the chat room. I'll get with you in just a minute. Okay. Let me just stand by on the radio. Okay. So we come down into the zone. We already know that 1510/1511, we expect that to be good support. Why? Well, because it's a weekly trading zone. Why? Because it held a support on Monday. Once we get into the zone here, and we start to go sideways for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, 6 hours. Look what happens on the 1, 2, 3rd hour. We get dynamic support printing. Oh, okay. So just like we had two things up here telling us this is a pretty good place to get short, we now have two things based on two completely different formulas telling us it's a pretty good place to get long. And look what happens. Price goes from zone to zone. Since it's on the chart, I'll go ahead and throw in the cycle indicator, which I've talked about a couple times this week. Up here, we've got dynamic resistance, fixed resistance, and the cycle indicator telling us we want to be considering getting short the market because it's red and headed down. Over here, we've got two things up on the price chart telling us to consider being long, fixed support and resistance. I'm sorry, fixed support, dynamic support, and we have the cycle indicator turning blue and heading up. So three things, okay, telling you that this is a pretty good place to get long the market. Over here, now this is, again, an hourly chart. So let's roll right. So we get dynamic resistance up here. We spike through it a little bit. This is the high of the week up here at 22. Price comes back down and we get support here just below the zone. And then we get resistance. So now we've got that same thing in play. We've got the zone and dynamic both indicating pretty good place to get short. Cycle indicator is red and headed down, and price goes from zone to zone. Well, once we get to the zone, we anticipate that it should be good support because it's a zone, because earlier in the week it held a support. Our cycle indicator, while it's not blue and turning up yet, it's in a position to turn up, and ultimately it does. And then we start to print dynamic support. So again, we have those three things, but since this is lagging, we'll just go with the two. We're at a zone. We pop up out of the zone. We print dynamic support, and again, we get that zone-to-zone move. And then we run into resistance, back down to support, back up to resistance, and now we're looking for support. One thing I want to point out is these don't disappear. This isn't a disappearing dots. I have seen some indicators that attempt to do what this indicator does, but those dots, they'll print and they go away, then they print and then they go away. These, once you get a dot, if it's the only one, it'll stand alone. That's it. The weekly trading zones are carved in stone for the week. The dynamic support and resistance, once those print, that's carved in stone. Now, does it always hold? No, I've shown you examples of where it breaks. But when it breaks, you can turn that into a good trade in your favor. Okay? Got to know how to handle it. Got to know how to get your entry. Got to know how to manage your risk. All of that stuff. Okay? So again, is this a standalone tool? Could be. But if you simply use it as a confirmation tool, as a directional tool, I think you'll find that it can be very beneficial in helping you to be on the right side of the market. All right, let me go back to the chat box and see if there was any request for any other markets. We did gold, we did the 60-minute chart, we did the ES, we did the bonds. Natural gas, we already did, and that's $10 a tick. Thank you, Gary. Okay. All right, is there any other market anybody wants to look at real quick? Because then I'm going to take a break before the coach's corner. Randall asked, could I look at... Kyle, the symbol I used for natural gas was NGG. Okay, Randall asks if I can look at crude on the daily chart. Sure. Okay, GCLJ. Okay. Okay, this contract, we just rolled over in this contract, I believe. Is that correct? Did crude just move to the J contract? We have support. Okay, it got spiked. Then we hit resistance. Now, this resistance here printed at 94.80. It took us down to support at 87.34. So from 94.80 to 87.34. Then we bounced up to 89. And we spiked through it for days on end. Okay, this is the market putting at a bottom here. I want you guys to see this. Okay, this whole thing across here. That's a bottoming pattern. Okay. Now we print support finally after all of this, which is kind of difficult to navigate. Although on a day-by-day basis, you could navigate it. We finally print support down here at 87.03. It goes up. We print resistance at 92.83. So from 87, let's just say you're going to stay in that trade until you hit resistance, 87 to 92.83. That's a $5 move in oil and crude. Now, this is what I meant about if resistance is broken, or if support is broken, the dots don't disappear on you. They stay right there, okay? And they'll continue to print until we find support, because now we have broken resistance. So let's say you get this wrong, okay? You decide to go short here. Now, on a smaller time frame, you may or may not have gotten short. If you were just selling it because there was a red dot, I think you need to dig a little bit deeper, but let's say you did go short and you got stopped out. Okay, well, this thing is continuing to climb and these dots are continuing to print. And they're going to continue to print and the market's going to continue to climb until it finds support again because you've got broken resistance. So once this is broken, we can see that this move, we're still looking for, you would think, you know, the mind wants to go, hey, where's the resistance up here? But this thing is not looking for resistance because we're in an up move. What it's looking for is support. We got a really nice move. So we're in a pullback right now. So this thing is looking for a place to buy the market, not to sell the market, okay, but to buy. If we were to draw a fib and put it on here for this last leg of the journey, we can see that the 38% retracement from this swing low to this swing high is about 94.40. Okay? So might that be where support prints? It might be. We'll have to wait and see. And that's the beauty of this particular indicator, is that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry over it. You don't have – you just, you know, you look at it from time to time based upon whatever time frame you're using it. If you're using it on an hourly chart, of course, you need to check it hourly. 10 minutes? Well, there you go. Daily? Every day. Okay? Okay, let me go through the chat one more time. Gold, do you think we're going to bottom and bounce? I would like to think so, Francine. That's just an opinion. I think at these prices, gold should become attractive to a lot of people, and we should see some buying come in. But I'm not forecasting the market's really not my forte. I'm more of just kind of dealing with what's right in front of me. So I wish I could give you a better answer, but I think the long-term sentiment I have for gold will prevail, which is bullish, but we'll have to wait and see. Okay, does anybody have any other market or time frame that you want to look at really quick? Now, if you've never taken the free trial, you can take the free trial this weekend. You can put this indicator on your chart. Okay, you can be trading with this indicator next week. No credit card required. Don't need to know your mother's maiden name or the street you grew up on. Name, email address. We'll let you download the platform, install the indicators, and then we'll teach you how to use them for 5 days. This time next Friday, you'll be able to make a well-informed and intelligent decision as to whether or not becoming a CFRN partner is what's in your best interest. And by the way, if you do decide to become a CFRN partner, then you too will be entered to win the iPad Mini. Okay? So, any other questions from anybody? We've seen some good action, some good markets. Okay, we covered everything everybody wants to see for now. All right. Then we'll put the chart back to the 1 hour. Okay, now this thing is looking for what? Because it found resistance up here. It's looking for support. Where do you think it'll find it? Good chance at the weekly zone. But we don't need to get ahead of ourselves. We can simply wait and see. But up here, this doji followed by this bearish candle, it would have been difficult probably for a partner to sell into this zone because the potential for it to be support is very good. But you could have sold coming out the other side. If you were reluctant to get in up here, you could have sold coming out the other side and participated in this move down here. Now, what's interesting is the cycle indicator has yet to give in. Okay, it is an hourly chart, and remember, the cycle indicator was designed to work with smaller time frames, but my attempt this week has been to show you that you can apply it to larger time frames. But it's going to lag a bit, especially when you get a big move like this. I mean, the entire daily range prior to this candle, the daily range was 15.14 up to 15.22, so 8 points. This candle alone is over 7 points. So you've got the entire daily range in one candle. When that happens, it's only natural that this indicator is going to lag a little bit. All right, I guess that's it. It is the weekend. It is a long weekend. Spend some quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. And I'll see some of you back here in 27 minutes after the asteroid passes for the Coach's Corner. Today will be episode number 9, I believe, with Ms. Robin Dane, the trading coach. So again, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.